Hi, I'm Lucas James.
And I'm Jordan Ross.
And we're the co-hosts of How to Scale an Agency. After scaling our own agencies to over $185,000 per month in sales and working with agencies doing hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue like Hawk Media and Neil Patel, we've made this show to interview the top digital marketing agency owners and highlight the fastest ways to scale your agency. If you would like to join the best digital marketing agency community on the planet and let us help you scale, go to twiz.io to sign up today. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of How to Scale an Agency. I'm on with David Maples of Catapult Digital Marketing Agency. He is also an AI technologist, IP attorney, and podcast host. He's also part of Calray Incorporated. Did I pronounce that correctly?
It's Calray.
Calray mm-hmm. Incorporated. And so he's got some great stuff he's been working on for a long time and building his own software as well. So thank you, David, for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Glad to be on the show.
So we got a lot of people who listen to this who are interested in not just how to grow an agency, but also how the AI revolution is changing agencies and the agency space. Could you shed some light on what you've been seeing so far and maybe how your businesses might be changing according to this AI revolution?
Yeah, definitely. So with the AI revolution has... And your audience members already know, they're probably using some generative AI tools, anything from, you know, ChatGPT to Anthropic's Claude or whatever it is at this point in time. There's a ton of tools in the market segment right now in market space. But fundamentally, what people need to be thinking about is how are they going to incorporate those tools into what they're doing on a daily basis from any business, right? It doesn't just have to be limited to agencies. And as someone who's been doing consulting and helping put in that stuff, and of the Fortune 500, only about 10 to 17% of those companies this year are stating that they are actually going to be fully trying to implement or embrace AI this year. So it's really kind of a mixed market. The biggest thing we've noticed is that for agencies in particular, and as we run an agency, is that it's really hard to kind of, you can shoehorn the tools in, you can put them in your agency. There's a lot of things you can do to simplify things you do. For example, we have a podcast. We've cut our production time on a lot of things we do by about 60 to 70% by using some of these different tools. And I can talk a little bit about that. The challenge with an agency is that people have a very, depending on your agency, a lot of times, you know, people got through change in the pandemic. Like, how do we adapt to that? What does that look like? How do we bring new business, et cetera? But fundamentally, what I'm trying to get people to think about is if you were starting over today, if you were starting your agency today, how would you build it with these generative AI tools? And that's a very different way to think about it than just kind of putting those in where they work for us, depending on the agency. And I think that's the big thing I think agencies need to be thinking about right now is, okay, if you were starting from zero, right now, how would you go about everything? Everything from intake, proposal generation, closing deals, finding new clients, delivering on any of your goods and services, and how can you do those? So for example, just as an example, generating social media, something that most agencies do some of that. Either they manage it for clients, they do social media marketing, et cetera. And you can generate posts, you know, really quickly with GPT, et cetera. But there's a whole bunch of things you have to do. You know, you have to get them. You have to have a strategy behind it. You have to have a reason you're doing it. But the challenge with it as an agency is you have to represent literally dozens or even hundreds of voices, depending on how many of those accounts you have under management. And so if you're talking about using generative AI, how would that change your process from social media, from the ground up? Like, what would you do? Ideation, intake with client, building a brand voice around it. Which tools do you get the best results with? I have some theories on that too. I prefer Claude from Anthropic for social media generation. And then how do you keep a human in the loop, keep the privacy there that needs to be there for your clients, and make sure it still manages and reflects the client's brand voice? And there's a lot of misinformation out there about that in the market right now. But I think fundamentally agency owners need to be looking at every piece of what they're doing. When generative AI is here, Sam Altman was, there's a couple things he said in a quote in an interview, and Sam Altman with OpenAI, he said that once AGI is here, it'll replace 95% of what agencies do today. And so you're like, wow, you know, and that could be around the corner, or if you're in a John LeCun camp, that could be, you know, 2043, and it's not something you have to really sweat right now. But that being said, fundamentally, you have to be thinking about how to use these tools right now, how to grow your agency, how to do things with it. And I think the biggest challenge for a lot of people right now is they're just kind of sliding it in there and kind of slapping it in where it fits or where they think it fits. And I think that's actually fundamentally misaligned with what the goals of the agency are. I think you have to think about it if you were doing it over again today, starting anew. And I think it's kind of freeing in some respects.
Yeah. And that was one of my questions I was going to ask you, which is, in 10 years, will there still be digital marketing agencies, do you think?
I guess I have to hedge my bet a little bit. Okay, so with or without AGI? So is AGI here or not?
I guess we should. Well, you're a technologist, so I'm actually curious, how do you define AGI? I feel like it's being defined differently by different people. So I'm curious.
I think the problem with it is people don't understand the question. So Sam Altman, his belief is when it can do, you know, do baseline tasks better than the average human or the mean human, as he calls it, which is a terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a company that's probably the best marketing company on the planet right now, OpenAI, it's like, come on, man, just get your messaging right.
I always think about that. It's like, who is the mean human? Like, who is the average?
Who is the average human, right? So, but if you're in one of these other technology camps and you think maybe it's further off, it's the ability to reason and to plan and to execute, right? It's the idea mm-hmm. that it can do these other things without supervision, and you trust that the results that you're going to get. And I think this is one thing that gets missed a lot is it's like, not just that the tasks are done better than the average human, but the results, that the outcomes from that, right, are better than that. And I don't know, as a technologist and somebody who's currently, and I'm not building, we aren't training foundational models. I'm going to go ahead and make sure that's clear on the show. We are taking commercial applications of like Llama 2, and we're fine tuning those. We're adding delta weights and then adding other things on there with search and RAG, retrieval augmented generation for the mm-hmm. audience. So we're doing things like that. So that being said, I'm going to answer this question in two ways. One, I believe that it has to have the ability to reason and to plan and to execute. And currently we don't see any of that really evident in the LLMs. I don't care how good you think ChatGPT is. It is a simulacrum or a facsimile of what you would actually do. You give it some weird stuff and you still get hallucination effects, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And then there's a question about, does it matter? But right. The fact is, it's really not planning. You wouldn't ask it to set you up on a blind date with anybody right now, you know?
Yeah.
Go out to the internet, find some. So think about it. Think about some of these things that you'd ask a friend to do. If you had to unload your dishwasher, right now, that is a one-shot activity for a five-year-old child or a seven-year-old child. You can show them one time unloading mm-hmm. the dishwasher and getting these robots and these machines to do it. Even the best ones right now, you would have to run it through 10 million simulations to kind of get it close to being right.
Yeah.
So fundamentally, I believe there's some things missing in that question about generative intelligence, et cetera, that we're not out yet. Assuming that you can get one that can reason, rationalize, and do everything else and strategize and look at data better than anybody else, I think 95% of the activities that agencies do right now will go away. I don't think agencies will exist anymore so will most other things. Customer service right. jobs won't exist, right? So I think if that happens, and I think we eventually will get there, I am not too bullish on the 2027 number, 2028 number. Yeah. Obviously, things are getting much, much better. But if you know what to look for, there's still problems. But then again, the question is, if it's a good enough fake, do you care? Right?
Right. Right.
And that's the other thing, the hallucination effect. What people have to understand is that hallucination effects are exponential, because the way the token generations happen, your first hallucination leads to another. And that's how you end up with this weird thing where if you ask it set up for a blind date, it's all of a sudden getting me fish market prices in Taiwan, you know, and you're like, how did that happen? I don't know how that happened. That's crazy.
Well, it's definitely interesting because you have on the one hand, the need for the AI to eventually be smart enough to handle these different tasks. But then the other part you alluded to, which I think is important for people who do service-based jobs to think about, is there also is a level of control that the user has to be willing to give to the AI to execute those things which require approval. And if we think about even now with agencies, there's sometimes things that don't really take that much time for a company to do, but the reason they hire an agency to do it might just be trust. It might be like,
I want you to migrate my website to a new hosting platform. Well, an AI could do that, but at what point will the users allow for that level of control to be given to an AI system so they, that way it could be done by that AI completely, you know?
And I think you're right there. I think, Lucas, to your point, I think the trust component is fundamental. I believe that everyone should have a human in the loop. If you're using generative AI tools to generate something, you've got, aside from the copyright questions, and as an intellectual property attorney, that's not been answered right now, what that looks like. I still think you need to have a human in the loop. I don't think your best, and the challenge with it is the best content generated by Claude or GPT still needs a human to go make it sound better or make sense, et cetera, even if you have the brand voice and stuff in there. I think that the lie we sell to you, and we build software too, right?
Right.
So, but it's kind of that marketing thing, right? You're like, this will solve everything that ails you. And the reality of it is it's a little more complicated and nuanced than that particular marketing message would lead you to believe. But the trusting is paramount, right? And especially in a lot of these westernized countries like the United States, the trust in AI has been dropping precipitously since 2020. Like fully, I think that the distrust level, because they always talk about how many people trust it, you know, trust AI and these systems and who's going to do it. And I think the distrust number is like up in the 60% range now, you know, and that it's growing.
Yeah.
And politically, ideologically, that's even higher in some sectors. So it's really interesting. So yeah, there's a question there. Lucas, if I asked you to migrate my website, and that is my, I'm a company and I sell homemade cookies direct to your doors, a care basket. It's a bacon of the month club or something like that, you know, whatever it is. Right. And you asked me to migrate that, and that's all your revenue. If they get it wrong,
right?
If you trust an AI to do it and they botch it, who do you yell at?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And how do you make sure that someone's accountable for that? Who's double checking the AI? We've been talking about developing some stuff lately, just from a checking standpoint, where we've been working on some stuff to actually have some of the other AIs, like have Claude check the results that GPT gives you or whatever else, like. And maybe ask someone else to look at some of the results and give you feedback on what that looked like. We've been trying to push the envelope on here and says, well, how do you do this? How do you make it work? And how does it be trusted? And I don't think any of us really know the answer on that yet.
Yeah.
But it's a good question.
We definitely, as humans, are realizing that progress is not always inevitable, because we as humans have to choose to eventually evolve. And that we actually have the choice to both progress and to evolve. And if you look at nuclear energy, that's an example of us choosing not to necessarily progress because of the risks. And so the same thing could happen with AI. I don't think anybody in the world right now knows for sure if that's what's going to happen or not. If there's a terrible accident that occurs because of AI or disaster, do we then decide to put a pause on AI development, like some people are calling for? And if we do, does that mean that these things aren't eventually going to be reached, like AGI and all that stuff? Personally, it's funny. I think AGI is interesting as a concept, because it's kind of like when people try to debate whether pets or animals have consciousness.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, well, we don't even have a definition of consciousness. So how do you... agreed upon. You know what
that's
I mean?
The thing that's really interesting. There's this philosophical kind of like thing we need to wrestle with on what does this look like? And that's a real challenge. Yeah. And I've been leaning heavily into science fiction a lot lately, because I think that full disclosure, I'm kind of a Star Trek nerd. I like this idea that somehow we end up in the future and we don't completely, you know, destroy ourselves. But in science fiction, a lot of these tropes, there are entire societies and these science fiction books, et cetera, where they're like, oh, we stopped development on AI because it's a bad thing. There are some definite risks there. Right. And I think you're totally right. Like we've seen with, you know, Fukushima, and, you know, we've got Three Mile Island, we have Chernobyl, and nuclear energy is an incredibly important resource.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about the problem with the amount of energy consumption and the water consumption to power these AI machines. Like there are massive issues. And here's one of the other things. You talk about AGI and I'll loop back. I'll make this all make sense. We talk about AGI. The human brain runs on, I think, about like 25 watts worth of power, right? Yeah. Or something like that. And your AGI machines right now, a single, you know, H100 runs at like, they're 500 watt draws. I mean, literally it's a factor of 10 or 20, and that's one. And the human brain is like 100 of those things running at once, or 1,000 of those things running at once. So there's definitely, from a stepper standpoint, we're way, the human brain, this, you know, it's bags of mostly water, right, are still much more efficient than the AIs are right now. So we have a long way to go in this regardless. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're going to cross that. I really don't think we're going to cross that threshold in any kind of measurable way. I could be completely wrong.
Well, it's interesting because the great filters that they talk about in human evolution and the whole idea that why is there no one else out there? Is it because there's all these filters that we haven't gone through yet? Maybe the singularity is one of those. Maybe that's the next step in human evolution. And if we choose not to go through it, maybe there's another society who has, and they're dominating the galaxy right now.
It's yeah, that's a very good question. So, but yeah, to your point though, I think there's, it does have a lot of risks. It does have risks associated with it, like any new technology does. And I my biggest concern is that we have this legal thicket globally from a regulatory standpoint, and right, that we don't really have borders. You know, when you talk about these software companies, like one of the jokes about it is when people talk about privacy, they're like, I'm only a United States company, right? I'm only in the state of Iowa, right, or Florida or whatever it is. But you still have to worry about your European Union regulations, because if you have a single member of the EU who uses your application or website, you're subject to those regulations. So, and there's no uniform governance or idea or body that's, right, that's set up outside of any one country right now. There's going to be a patchwork and a thicket of laws. And I think it's going to be, I don't know, how do you end up with like an atomic, you know, energy, you know, that like the atomic, International Atomic Energy Corporate, you know, how do you end, right, up with that governing AI? We got to have some kind of consensus on this and what's allowable and what's not. I think, yeah, you got some really good points there though.
100%. I want to shift the conversation as we wrap up here towards what you're building, and it sounds very cool. There's a lot of, okay, agencies who are wanting to build their own software, myself included have one, and a lot more are running towards the idea of software because, like you said, if digital marketing agencies eventually cease to exist, maybe they get replaced by people who have their own software solutions to complement a lot of the marketing agency tasks that an AI would eventually do for us. So what is it that you're building? Why are you building it? How can people use it? Where is it at in development?
So we have easyprompter.ai right now. We, mm-hmm, named that before everything became a co-pilot. So it's called easyprompter.ai. And you can go look at it. It's currently, we just took it out of beta. It may even stay. It's still in a beta. But we're about to open it up so that people can, you know, we have quite a few persistent users using it right now. And the idea with it was that it's one of the only AIs, itself, the way it works is it's got prompt engineering kind of built into it, baked in already. And it gives people an easy way to go generate responses, but to get it from whichever platform they want. Currently, we're integrated with Claude 3, which is Anthropic's GPT-4 Turbo. We still have legacy GPT-3.5 on it. We have some of our own LLMs, Llama 2s, that we can run on it, but those are for more individualized or siloed deployment. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is built a piece of software that does a lot of the things that agency work does. Because as I said earlier in the pod, I was talking about like restructuring, reformatting what you do. So we have everything from strategy generations in there, social media generators, et cetera, in there. And it gives people two things. First of all, the big thing it gives them above anything else, it gives you privacy, because we're using the APIs, everything in our software. We've set it in there that if you use our software, we keep your stuff private forever. Okay. Even if we were to sell or be acquired by another company, we've got kind of a poison pill in our contract stating that that has to survive an acquisition. Okay. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make VCs happy for investing, but that's not what we built in. The other thing about it is,
yeah,
it gives people the ability to switch between where they want to generate the results from, et cetera. Just, you know, it's a drop down right now or a button, and it lets you choose how you're going to generate your stuff and then generate your results. We have memory functions already built into it. I know GPT started adding some memory functions, but as an agency, one of the challenges is is that you're not always trying to generate stuff based on the same memory every time. You know, you may or may not want to apply your memory and your use choices. You may,
yeah,
and you can go set those things up for yourself. Like you give it a whole information. So like we have a whole, we're building out a variant just for salespeople as well, for sales teams. And that's going to be AI for closers is what it is.
Yeah.
So we're building out a couple of these different variants. And what we're doing is trying to make those very specific. What we are working on is one just for agencies, which is going to do everything from analysis. We're working on APIs with, you know, Ahrefs and SEMrush and those kind of people to pull in that data. And then to go with best of breed, you know, what we've learned working with 3,000 plus companies in the past 15, 16 years, maybe it's 17 years now. Good grief. But bring in the best of breed on like how you should be doing your strategy, how you've been thinking about it. And then we've got some things in there where we have some challenge agents we've built in there as well to like challenge you in your ideas. What are we things that we've not thought about for developing and deploying for people? And our idea with it was, is we were trying to find things that agencies, the things that are routine, that are done over and over and over again, that you can replace with AI and it speed up your workflow in some questions. But we think a human needs to be in the loop. And number two, one of the things we built about it was one of the hardest things to train any new person at an agency on is strategy. Mm. You could teach them to write. You could teach them to do social media posts. You can teach them how to read some of the data. But when you really talk about strategy and formulating campaigns, there's more to it that people need to look at. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things we built into it. So we built this partly internally. We built it for ourselves originally. And then we've been selling it to a lot of clients. Because, for example, Lucas, to your point, some people may not want agencies at some point, or I'll do my own social media myself. Well, I still want to have something to sell them. So now I have something that's like, oh, wait, you want to do social media on your own? It's not going to be as good as what we do, but here's a tool that will cut 80% of your time out if you're a small mom and pop, you know, developing your own software. And so that's easyprompter.ai. And that's kind of our first version of it. But we've got like six or seven other variants that we're going to be putting out in the market probably in the next 6 weeks.
That's amazing.
So,
and people can go and start using it on the website now.
Yes, they absolutely can.
Amazing. Well, this has been a great conversation. I know it's existential for people right now to think about, is this even going to be a business in 10 years? You know, is digital marketing even going to be a business in 10 years? And so I think this has been very informative for people who are pondering that question right now.
Well, here's the thing. You know, we've long heard SEO is dead, right? We've heard that, right? We've heard that for what, the past 15 years, everybody says, oh, SEO doesn't matter anymore. Search engine optimization doesn't matter for clients and companies, et cetera. I think that whatever the agency of the future looks like, And I think some big companies will still use it. You'll still have agencies do a lot of work for you. I don't think everybody's going to try to do it in-house. Mm-hmm. But I firmly believe that it will look fundamentally different than what we do today. And I think it's incumbent upon any of us. I mean, if you're running the boat, if you're captain of your own ship, you need to be thinking about that today. And you need to be thinking about AI. And here's the one thing. The last thing I would leave the listeners with is that AI is moving at such a fast pace right now. One day in the real world is 14 days to AI based on the development race. Mm-hmm. So if you wait a week, you're past a month. If you wait a month, that's been a year. If you wait a year to put AI in your agency, you've wasted a decade of time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Get working on it now because there's no one else. At the end of the day, the buck stops with you and you've got to make the right decisions moving forward in what you're doing.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Thanks for being on the show, David. I really appreciate it. And, again, if anybody wants to sign up for the software, check it out, start using it, go to easyprompter.ai. That's easyprompter.ai. Thanks again, David. Any last thing you want to share with the audience at all?
The thing I always leave when I do a keynote speech, I always say that I think AI represents kind of a brave new world that we're entering into. But as opposed to the way Huxley did it, you know, with this dystopian future, I think we should look at it as the way the bard originally intended in Shakespeare's The Tempest. When Miranda originally sees the sailors come off these ships, she says, oh, brave new world that has such creatures in it. It's about looking at these opportunities with hope and optimism. Hmm. And that's how I believe I'd like people to look at this going into the future, is not cyberpunk, but maybe Star Trek.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, David. And for everybody listening, this concludes another episode of How to Scale an Agency. Until next time.